This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
How will a compromise on the Bush tax cuts affect the middle class?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Steve Chiatakis. President Obama said last night, in exchange for extending unemployment benefits and deepening tax cuts for the middle class, he's going to allow tax cuts for the highest earning Americans to continue for 2 years.
It's the right thing to do for jobs. It's the right thing to do for the middle class. It is the right thing to do for business. And it's the right thing to do for our economy.
Now, while Republicans are claiming victory, they got the tax cuts they wanted for everyone, and some Democrats are fuming, saying the president caved without a fight. But what if this were part of a bigger picture, that the plan is sort of a second stimulus? That's precisely what David Leonhardt blogs about today in the New York Times. And David's with us now. Good morning.
Good morning.
How much of a stimulus program would this be? What's the price tag?
Now, most people think that ultimately they were going to extend, at the very least, the Bush tax cuts for people under 250. In fact, most people think they were always going to extend all of them because of the political hand that the Republicans held. So basically, I think you're left with $300 billion in stimulus that before we heard this deal, we weren't sure we were going to get. And that's a combination of tax cuts, unemployment insurance, and tax cuts for businesses.
The unofficial definition, David, of stimulus is some sort of program that puts money into the economy immediately. How is this supposed stimulus, as you call it, going to do that?
The advantage of a stimulus program like this is that it actually does get spent quite quickly. You start sending out new unemployment checks. You start cutting people's taxes. It happens very quickly. The disadvantage is that some amount of the money will get saved. The unemployment benefits are probably not going to get saved because people who are unemployed need that money. But other people will get their tax cuts, and they may well decide, you know what, I'm going to spend half of this, or I'm going to spend two-thirds of it. And the money that goes into their bank account really will not be stimulus.
If this is a stimulus, David, why don't Democratic leaders just call it that and claim some sort of victory? I mean, they feel, you know, very defeated right now. So they could come out and say, hey, well, this really is kind of a stimulus program. It sort of worked in our favor, and we champion the middle class.
Well, stimulus has become something of a dirty word politically. It is not economically. I mean, the Congressional Budget Office, Ben Bernanke, the chairman of the Fed, who's a Republican, all the private firms that have looked at it, all say that the stimulus program made a huge difference. But politically, it's very hard to split hairs and say, yes, but things would have been even worse without the bill. And so Democrats have decided they don't like the word stimulus. They are going to instead talk about this as a jobs bill. But economically speaking, there's no difference between stimulus and jobs.
David Leonhardt from the New York Times. David, thanks.
Thank you.
By the way, word today from Republicans that they will block any inclusion of Build America bonds in that tax deal. Let's do the numbers. Well, markets are higher right now by about 0.5% to a full percent. The S&P up 0.2%. Same for the NASDAQ. The Dow up 70 at 11,432. Word from women's retailer Talbots. Sales fell more than 3% in the last quarter. Shares are down at least 20% so far today. Markets in Europe are higher at the moment.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Reputation Defender, helping doctors, lawyers, and small business owners monitor, protect, and improve their online reputations. ReputationDefender.com. By Vanguard, whose mission is to simplify investing and to help people reach their financial goals at vanguard.com/public radio. And by Microsoft, providing comprehensive business solutions for the cloud. You can learn more at microsoft.com/cloud.
We know a lot of metropolitan areas suffered at the hands of the Great Recession, but up to now it's been hard to gauge just to what extent. A new survey by the Brookings Institution highlights 150 of the world's biggest metro areas. The Global Metro Monitor, as it's called, looks at how those areas were doing before and after the economic downturn. Alan Berube is a senior fellow and research director of the Metropolitan Policy Program at Brookings, and welcome to Marketplace.
Hi, Steve. Good to be with you.
What does this examination say about the effects of the Great Recession?
Well, I think it's saying that it's an uneven recession and recovery worldwide when you look at these major metropolitan economies around the globe.
How do American cities fare in these comparisons?
There were a few American cities that really stood out as being among the top performing economies worldwide, places like Las Vegas, Phoenix, Charlotte. We all know what the recession did to some of these places. However, overall, I'd say U.S. cities are rebounding slightly better than their European counterparts.
You mentioned Las Vegas and some of these other Sunbelt cities. What happened in Vegas? Because I noticed it was ranked globally as 14th. And then the Great Recession hit, and it nosedove to 146th out of 150 cities, metro areas that you guys covered.
It's an economy that was really more oriented towards consumption than any other American economy or perhaps any economy worldwide. So it just suggests that given the depth of the recession there, it could be a long and slow road to recovery for that regional economy.
Las Vegas, obviously a huge shift. Do the cities with these big shifts have anything in common?
Well, we saw shifts not unlike what was going on in Vegas in Dublin, Barcelona, Madrid, and some Eastern European capitals, Riga, Latvia, all had a similar sort of asset bubble in the run-up to the recession that when it popped, sent those metropolitan areas really from the top of our rankings to the very bottom.
If I were looking to move to the place today with the most opportunities, anywhere across the globe, where would I go?
You might go to Asia. You might go to places like Shanghai or Mumbai, or you might go to Latin America, cities like Sao Paulo or Lima. Meanwhile, U.S. and European cities are rebounding at very different rates. So I think the rankings may shift quite a bit if we come back 2 years from now and take a look at economic growth at the city level again.
Alan Berube, a senior fellow at the Brookings Institution. Alan, thanks.
Great. Thanks very much, Steve.
And for a city slideshow, head on over to our website, marketplace.org. And finally, you know the routine. You're late for work. You're inside the elevator waiting for the door to close. No one else is coming, but the door stays open. So you hit that door close button and nothing happens. Well, the folks at the PBS program Nova examined whether those buttons even work at all. Some engineers say they do work. But one thing here, others claim the button is a sham and is only there to lift the passenger's spirits. In Los Angeles, I'm Steve Chiotakis. This is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
A new startup connects busy professionals with nonprofits that need their experience.
I wanted to have an opportunity to volunteer what I was building every day, which were my financial skills.
I'm Bob Moon. That story and charities in the social media age kick off our annual philanthropy series next time on Marketplace from American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.